Welcome
Long
to
time no talk.
Yeah, for real. It's been a while since we've done an episode, but thanks for joining us for this episode of Millennial Parenting. On this episode, we talk about our kids not wanting to eat dinner. We also kind of breeze through the hospital trips that we've had since the last episode. It's been kind of crazy here.
Just two.
Only two trips. It's been kind of crazy here in the Woods household. And then we finish off this episode talking about an article I saw about these vegan parents who malnourished their children. What happened to them? What's that whole situation about? Listen into the show to find out all about this malnourish extravaganza. It's a terrible. That's not really. It's probably not the best word to explain
about
it. To explain
nutrition
it. And our tangents. We go on a couple tangents about nutrition
in
this episode. I do. Yeah, because I'm the fitness guy. So anyway, thanks for joining us. If you like the show, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. And if you have any questions, reach out to us and we'll get them answered. You can ask anything. And if we think it's too personal, we just won't answer it. But anyway.
Maybe we will.
No, you never know. Try us. Without further ado, let's get into this episode of Millennial Parenting. So it's been a while since we sat down and did one of these. A little bit too long.
Yeah, life's been crazy.
It's been pretty crazy. Have we gone to the hospital since our last episode?
Yeah, with Gianna.
Really?
Well, not the hospital. Patient first in urgent care.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about what happened there. That was very difficult as a parent.
Not really. Well, what was it, Saturday?
It was a Saturday. Mm-hmm.
And we decided to go shopping. It was a Saturday after Christmas.
Hey.
We decided to go shopping. All right, it was a Saturday after Christmas. And did she start whining in the car? Did she start complaining in the car that her belly hurt?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. No, it was before we even left. She was like, my belly hurts. And we were like, just get in the car.
That we were like, do you have to go to the bathroom? Do you want a drink of water? Whatever. So we're like, just get in the car. It'll be okay. And she whined in the car a little bit. She fell asleep.
A lot. It was a little bit more than a little bit.
Well, no, it was only a little bit. Because if she was whining a lot, we would have just said, let's go back home.
Yeah, but I was still worried about how much she was whining in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, she did calm down and relax.
And then she fell asleep, I think, right?
I don't think she fell asleep. I think she was just like zoned out.
Mm.
So anyway, she's zoned out in the car. And we get to
the shopping center.
Yeah, like the shopping center we were going to. There was a few stores we were going to. And luckily there was a patient first in that, or like right next to that shopping center. So we get out of the car and we start to walk in, and she just like, Gianna just stops in the parking lot. She's just like complaining that her stomach hurts. That her belly hurts, and it's hard, you know, she can't walk. I'm like, well, okay, like your belly hurts, but can you walk? She's like, no, I can't walk. So
she was being dramatic.
I mean, she is a little bit of a drama queen, which is what, like, that's like the difficult part, because you're like, we know she's a drama queen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, oh, just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop being a little drama queen. Get over it. You'll be fine. And, you know, I'm worried because, and I didn't know this, but kids don't have to poop every day.
No, they don't.
It's not like abnormal if they don't poop every day. Like, I poop like twice a day. So like, I know Gianna hasn't been pooping every day.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been trying to get her to poop on the potty, she gets scared, and so she'll hold it in and then be like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to go now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an issue like that when I was young, to the point where I woke up in the middle of the night, and this was like, I could talk, like I could still not like talk, but like I remember this, like I was old enough to remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I was just scared to poop. And my parents drove me to the hospital in the middle of the night, and the doctors did like an MRI or an X-ray or whatever, and they said, "Yeah, you're just constipated." So they wouldn't let us leave. I remember my dad telling me in the hospital, "We cannot leave until you poop. So if you want to go home anytime soon, you have to go in that bathroom and you have to poop, and the doctor has to see it." And the doctor like wanted to see the poop. So I that was like one of my worst poops that I ever had, because I was so constipated and it was like dry. Anyway, enough about my poop. So
that's gross.
I'm like, of course, worried for her, because I'm like, oh, I don't want the same thing to happen. Like, and so when she started complaining that much, that's when I was like, okay, you know, we're done here. We're going to go over to patient first. And so we went over there and she's complaining about her stomach. She's complaining about her stomach. Then all of a sudden, when we're sitting in the waiting room, she's fine. She's totally fine.
Yeah, she just stopped complaining. She, like, wanted to get up and play because there was a Christmas tree with a bunch of ornaments that Shane was looking at. And she was, like, she wanted to get up. She wanted to walk around. She wasn't whining. She wasn't crying. She just stopped.
And then she's like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And, like, very urgent. So I'm like, okay, let's go. So we go to the bathroom. And as soon as she starts peeing, she's like, ah, it burns. And I'm like, ugh. Oh. She has a UTI. And now I'm like, great. She's got a thing going on with her stomach and she has a UTI. Well, I guess come to find out, she only had a UTI.
Yeah.
After the doctor looked at her and whatnot.
But UTIs can make your abdomen hurt.
Can they?
Yeah, like your belly.
I've never had a UTI. Or
your pelvis area hurt.
Your pelvic.
So.
Pelvic girdle. So. She ended up just having a UTI, you know, and then a couple times she went potty after that. She said it burned, but after a few days, it was like, after like a few times she went to the bathroom, she was fine and it didn't bother her at all. But that's like the scary thing about it is not knowing what's wrong.
Because she's three, so it was like, what hurts? Does your left pinky toe hurts? And she'll say yes.
She'll just say yes. If you give, and that's the thing with kids, like, if you give them an object, they'll just be like, yeah, that hurts. That's what hurts.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. You know, if she, like, hurt her knee and I'm like, did your elbow hurt? She's not going to say yes. But if I say, like, if she hurts her knee and I say, does your leg hurt? She's going to say yes. So, it's, and especially with the abdomen, there's so much that could go on. Like, she was just coughing. She just had that cough.
Yeah, really bad cough and cold. So, we were like,
right before that. So, I'm like, yeah, maybe it's just, you just have your abs are sore or your diaphragm is sore because you spent all that time coughing and you just have this DOMS, this delayed onset muscle soreness from coughing so much, which has happened to me as an adult. And, you know, you just try to brush it off, but you can't sometimes. And like, that's the sign, I think, is when they're like, they just won't let it go. That's the sign that, like, you know, it's time to time to go get it looked at. But I think that was our only hospital trip or doctor's visit since the last episode. So we're on a pretty good streak here. Nobody's gotten hurt. Shane is just blowing my mind sometimes.
He's a crazy kid.
He's gonna be, I think he's gonna be like the active one when they get older.
I think Gianna will too.
I mean, I think they're both, but I think he's gonna be the one that's like, I wanna go outside and explore.
Yeah, he's a boy.
And get dirty.
He's a boy. He's going to do it.
Whether it be, I don't know, whether that just be because he's a boy or not, but, you know, another thing that we struggle with her is getting her to eat dinner. And it's something that, we've done. We're not the best at it, but when you serve them dinner, don't just give them everything. Like in like the like I when with my parents when they would serve me dinner, they would just put everything on the plate And then when kids get that, they just pick what they want that they want to eat. Like if you have like chicken, some vegetables, just a basic meal, chicken, vegetables, and pasta, let's say. You're always gonna gravitate towards the carb, because you're always gonna gravitate towards the pasta, right? And especially after their palate's been ruined by sugar, that first taste of sugar ruins
No, it doesn't.
all vegetables. Not really, but it instantly makes it more difficult, I think. But anyway, they're always gonna gravitate, and Gianna does this so much. She'll just gravitate towards the carb in the meal, the pasta, the rice, whatever it is. She'll gravitate towards eating that and picking at that, and then barely picking at the vegetables and the chicken. And it's not like she won't
Unless
eat.
it's something that she really loves.
Right. But even still, that's not a huge variety of food that she like absolutely loves.
Yeah, but since she was a baby, she's never been a picky eater. So it's just started. Like, I could always give her a plate full of food
And
and she
that's
would eat
right.
everything.
And that's where I was going with it, is that when sometimes we sit together when we're eating dinner, and I feed her, she eats it. It's not like she's turning her nose to the broccoli and the other vegetables and the meat. Like, she'll eat it. And I think part of it is she wants to be tended to. I think she likes that. I think she likes just sitting there and having to open her mouth and then
Well,
chew.
yeah, because she sees Shane do it
Right, of course,
and she wants to be a baby and pretend to be a baby
Right, you always
and
have
eat like that.
that revert, that phase where the older child wants to revert to be treated like a baby when there is a baby around, because they see the attention the baby gets, and that's their method of, oh, that's how I'm gonna get more attention. Which,
Understandable.
psychology. There's your psychology lesson for today. Oh, I wanted to give Megan a shout out.
Okay.
They had their baby today.
Oh, Megan Dreyer. I thought you were talking about your sister. I
I
was like,
wasn't gonna drop her
okay.
last name, but that's cool.
Sorry.
It's
You
okay.
can edit that out. Megan. Megan had her baby. Megan and Russell.
Congratulations, Megan and Russell. And welcome to the world, Eleanor.
Baby Ellie.
Baby Ellie. Welcome to the world.
8 pounds, 10 ounces.
Whew.
Woo.
Man. And she was posting on Facebook regularly, like, here's an update. There is no
It was
update.
taking a while.
She was in labor for a while, it seemed like. Well, I texted Russell and I was like, congratulations, man. And I was like, we're gonna come visit. And he was like, all right, well, we're gonna be in the hospital till Sunday. I was like,
You're like, we're not coming to the
no.
hospital. We have
We're
two
not
little
gonna come
kids.
until you guys are good. Like, until you guys are good and the baby's, baby needs a little bit of
You're
time
home and
to build
settled
up that
in.
immune system, to get exposed to some germs and get that immune system going. Now, I don't know if she had a cesarean section or if it
Don't
was
think
a
she did. She
vaginal
didn't.
birth.
The picture that she posted, she was in a hospital gown and
Yeah,
they were
and she would
holding the
have,
baby.
yeah, they did,
I don't
would have
think
been a
she
little
did.
different.
Which, shout out to her for having a V-back
Yeah.
because that stuff's
Yeah, that's
hard
solid. Plus,
with an 8-pound baby.
all the bacteria that the baby gets from a vaginal birth is so beneficial, and you don't get that,
Yeah, with a
you don't
C-section.
get that with a cesarean, unfortunately. But yeah, anyway, back to eating dinner. If you, I didn't even get to the
Total
thing.
changes.
We got so sidetracked there. So if you could like, it's difficult. It's difficult because, like, your kids are like, well, I don't like this. I don't want to eat it. And like, you don't want to like make your kid go to bed hungry. Like, they got to eat something. But getting kids to eat the vegetables and the meats can sometimes be difficult. So if you portion out what you want them to eat first, give them the meats and the vegetables, and then, when you once you finish these, you can have as much pasta as you want, but you got to eat this first. I don't care if you have three bowls of pasta, but you have to eat this first. That way, at least they're getting, the portioned nutrition that they need, that is essential for them, for their growth and the micronutrients and vitamins and minerals and whatnot. So, the other thing that I noticed that's becoming a problem in our society is the amount of time that kids are spending on screens.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
With like smartphones and tablets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. When we were in the hospital, in the waiting room, that was for Shane, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why did we go again?
Because he had RSV.
That's right. That's right. He had that cough. Mm-hmm. And that happened before. That happened after the last episode, I thought.
Maybe. Well, that happened too.
Been a while. But anyway, so we're in the waiting room of the hospital. And I don't know why, but there was a bajillion people there.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely insane. It was like a Tuesday night at like 7:30.
It was late.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it was late. And we ended up not even leaving the hospital until
after midnight.
It was about midnight when we were walking out, mm-hmm. which was just kind of blew my mind. Mm-hmm. But we're sitting in the waiting room, and you know, it's not just one room. There's like seven different waiting rooms mm-hmm. at Reading Hospital, and it's just they're all separated by glass. So you know, you can see, it looks big, but they're all separated by glass. Mm-hmm. And there was parents in there with their kids, and there was this one parent. At one point, there was this mom next to us, and she had her kid on her lap. Mm-hmm. And the entire time we were sitting there for over an hour before I had left to go get food and go get Gianna changed into pajamas and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the entire time we were sitting there, this kid was glued to this phone, whatever they were watching. Mm-hmm. And like it could have been circumstantial.
Well, absolutely. Who knows? You know they could have been sitting there for 2 hours and he could have lost his mind. Exactly. And it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it's bedtime.
Yes, 100%.
And
I'm not going to judge somebody based on that.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying, I let Shane sit and watch my phone because he was screaming and crying. And
oh, of course.
The last thing that everybody needs at midnight in an ER is screaming children.
Right. But to give you the benefit of the doubt, there was more time than not that your phone was put away and the kids weren't on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, like we very easily could have just both put the kids on our lap, pulled out both of our phones, put on a show that they both like, mm-hmm. and sat there quietly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there's a benefit to teaching kids patience like that without using technology to teach them patience.
Well, a one-year-old is very hard to teach patience.
Yes, and that's a little bit different. But Gianna's at the point now, being 3.5 going on 4, mm-hmm. that it's time for her to learn a little bit of, like, a little bit more patience. Right, and there's only so much we can expect out of them. You know, she's not even kids. 4. But I still think it's important to reinforce that, like, whole concept of no, we're waiting, and sometimes it's okay to make up your own games when you're bored. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's okay to play with your shoe. I don't know. You know what I mean? Look around and just like mm-hmm. be, and not be so totally engrossed in the phone. And you know, there's other negative side effects of it too. I mean, one being just the exposure to blue light will throw off your circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is not a big rock, right? Like when I'm working with clients to help them get a healthier lifestyle, there's bigger rocks that might need to be taken care of first. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, eating healthy, eating enough, exercising regularly. And like exposure to blue light will affect your sleep, but not as much as like drinking alcohol regularly or eating a poor diet, eating a diet that's high in inflammatory foods. You know what I mean? So there's other like big rocks that need to be taken care of first, you know, in terms of health and wellness. But the exposure to blue light will throw off your circadian rhythm. And of course, staying up until midnight, you know, for them to both be up until midnight, of course, is going to throw off their circadian rhythm, let alone exposure to blue light. But, you know, pair that with chronic exposure and, you know, you don't have a very good combination there. But, you know, and then the other things, like there's studies coming out about screen dependency and how kids are just dependent on these screens. And it's becoming an addiction. Like, it is becoming an addiction. And I find I even find myself sometimes during the day just pulling my phone out, opening Facebook. And then as soon as I open Facebook, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I didn't have any notifications. Like, what am I doing?
Bored.
Right, exactly. It's like a boredom thing, and it's like you just revert to that when you're bored. And, you know, revert and allowing your kids to revert. It's just so, so easy to just be like, here, just watch a show.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't understand. Like, they can't understand. They can't comprehend this. Right? And my parents never understood. You know, the only thing my mom said was, don't sit that close to the TV or you're going to melt your brain. And don't watch too much TV or it'll turn your brain into mush. That's the only, like, that's education funny. That I got on screen time. And I thought my mom did a pretty good job of regulating the screen time that I was able to, do. But I was also pretty active most of the time. It was go outside and do stuff. Especially before we moved from Allentown, but. Anyway, I think that's it's something to be cognizant of with your kids, because raising them with a screen dependency is not really setting them up for success in the future.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and another something that helps is the kids that are in daycare. Because we don't do TVs, we don't do phones, we don't do iPads. Every once in a while, on a special occasion, we'll watch a show on an iPad. Or, I mean, for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, maybe. Or like on Christmas Eve, we'll watch a Christmas movie when there's two kids in the daycare. Like, so they go from 7 a.m. to 5, 6 p.m. without anything.
Which is great.
Which is great. But I know for a fact that lots of people come home, or lots of families go home, and the TV's on from when they get home until bedtime.
Yeah.
And then on the weekend, the TV's on from when they wake up to when they go to sleep.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, not only are you missing out on, like, getting outside and being exposed to germs and dirt that's going to help, that's going to help the overall health of the kids.
Yeah, but not even just that. Like, in the dead of winter,
you're right.
Like, we're going to sit inside and watch TV.
It's hard, yeah. It's like, but it's, I mean, it's, I think it's,
I'm
still,
I'm not going outside in 10 degree weather.
I think it still should happen. You know, you can't, like, I think that keeping your kids inside, like, all the time in the wintertime and only going outside, like, when you have to get in the car, is like you're babying them. To me, that's babying them, because you're not
babying them.
You're not exposed. You know, they're not being exposed to extreme temperatures, which is acceptable. Well, which is acceptable to a certain point.
Well, yeah, and they don't need to be. Like, I'm not saying outside in the 5 degree weather.
I'm not saying toss them outside, and I'm not saying that they need to be out there for extended periods of time. But even 5-10 minutes in the cold is good for the body, especially with kids. So, you know, it's like when we, when you transition from one season to another, right? When we go into summer, when we're going from winter into spring, and, you know, it's been in the 30s all winter, and then all of a sudden in the spring, it's in the 50s. What was that?
That was my foot on the chair.
And then in the spring, it's in the 50s. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's so warm outside. And you go outside with a t-shirt and shorts. You're like, yeah, it feels great. It's so warm.
Yeah.
But in when it's dead of summer
and it dead drops. Dead of summer.
Dead of summer.
I feel like you just say dead of winter, not dead of summer.
Whatever. So it's the middle of the summer and it's really hot. It's like mid 90s, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it drops down to the 50s.
It's freezing.
It's freezing, mm-hmm. right? Because our bodies adapt. Yeah. So my point with that is when you never expose the body to the to cold temperatures like that, it can't adapt. And I'm not saying that it loses its ability to adapt, but it's always a good thing to continually expose the body to the elements
mm-hmm.
so that you maintain that ability to adapt efficiently.
Okay, yeah.
And when you're used to the cold, so if you spend a lot of time outside, you know, a 63 degrees house doesn't feel cold. But when you spend a lot of time indoors, especially in warm places mm-hmm. where it's regularly 65 or above, a 63 or 62 or 60 degree house feels cold
mm-hmm.
because the majority of your time has been spent in a warmer climate. And I think it's important to throw kids into that mix too.
Yeah.
And without going more into like the health aspect of things, how did we get from screen time to this?
Going outside, being cold.
Tangents. All right. So I wanted to share this with with you guys and with Nikki. She has not heard this article, but I'm part of a closed group on Facebook. It's like a fitness group. And there's a lot of non-fitness and semi-fitness stuff shared.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was really interesting there. It's from the dailymail.com, and it's news from the UK. And the title of this article goes, "Malnourished toddler raised by vegan parents had an off-grid existence with no medical records or vaccinations, and neighbors in their affluent suburb didn't even know she existed."
That's horrible.
So, basically, the review of this article is the parents, who are both 32 and 34 years old,
mm-hmm.
pled guilty to causing their infant serious injury. This girl came down with rickets.
Which
rickets is a bone disease that causes brittle bones.
Oh, yeah, brittle bone disease.
Yeah, it's called rickets.
Mm-hmm.
So your bones can fracture and break very easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they claimed that their daughter, who barely grew for 19 months, was a fussy eater, quote-unquote fussy eater,
mm-hmm.
and hospital staff were stunned when the one-year-old could not crawl nor speak. And the daughter and her two siblings have been taken into foster care. What and the parents are going to be pled guilty, so they'll probably go to jail.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Read the title again. Vegan parents. What does vegan that have anything to do with that?
Because they fed her. They pushed their vegan diet and vegan lifestyle onto their infant.
Okay.
Until she was over a year old.
There's no way.
What do you mean there's no way?
There's no way that child got so malnourished from a vegan diet. They were definitely abusing and neglecting her.
No way.
Yes way.
Listen, number one.
You can eat a vegan diet. No,
but here's the thing about a vegan diet. There's a lot of micronutrients and vitamins and minerals that you're missing because you're not eating animal-based products, okay, that you can't get. And you have to be very cognizant about it. That's why when you go vegan.
And they obviously weren't or didn't care.
That's my point. A lot of people don't understand this. You can't just say, you know, you can't just go vegan
and expect
your body to perform at optimal function, because there's nutrients that you're not getting now because you're not eating animal products.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know what foods you need to eat to get those nutrients. You have to know what nutrients you're missing.
Yeah.
You have to know what foods to eat to get those nutrients. And you can't eat like the same things over and over again. I mean, you can't do that. Like, across the board, you shouldn't do that. Yeah. But you can't. So you have to be very meticulous when it comes to vitamins and minerals if you choose to be vegan.
Mm.
And
well, first of all, I don't even think you should try and have your 1-year-old be vegan
That's the second. We're going to get to that. I'm going to get to that, to my feeling about that. But that's the other thing. I just want to touch on this for the vegan diet. You know, you have to know what you need to eat, because you have to know what vitamins and minerals you're missing.
Yeah.
And especially in children, these vitamins and minerals are essential in their development. And even creatine supplementation is very, very beneficial for people who are vegans, because they're not getting any creatine, mm-hmm. because creatine is in meat.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only, and creatine is essential. Creatine, you have to have some amount of creatine in the diet.
Mm-hmm.
And vegans will see a massive benefit in, you know, their energy and their performance if they mm-hmm. work out from supplementing with creatine.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, they fed the girl a diet so lacking in basic nutrients that she developed rickets, which is a degenerative bone disease.
They're just idiots.
Oh,
and
of course.
Abusive and neglective, because when your child is crying because you're giving them lettuce all day long, you have to be stupid or not care to actually feed them something.
No, they're just, and they're dressed very nicely in these pictures.
It doesn't
matter.
So
they're just dumb. They're just dumb.
No, it doesn't matter if they're dressed nicely.
Well, I'm saying they're from an affluent neighborhood.
Okay, well,
so like they got
still.
Money.
And they're said, just retarded. So excuse my language. I shouldn't use that word.
This
they're
is supposed to be a family-friendly podcast.
Okay, well, this is making me mad, so.
The mother had a water birth and left the hospital 3.5 hours later. She returned
She shouldn't have been allowed to do that. They should have called Child Protective Services for leaving the hospital with her baby.
Listen, this is also in a different country, so they operate a little bit differently than we do. She returned for a postnatal check 3 days later. However, she refused a newborn screening test or a hearing check, telling the doctor she would rather her GP do them. What's the GP? General practice?
General practitioner.
That's what I thought.
But, again, shouldn't be allowed to do that because the hospital should do that.
She never did these with a GP, and the mother ignored multiple phone calls, voicemails, text messages, and a letter for 2 weeks.
Should have called CPS.
Then the hospital discharged her from their care after no response was received. That's what court documents say. So for 19 months, the authorities had no idea about the neglect the toddler went through until she had a seizure at home, and they brought her to the hospital, of course. She stayed at the hospital for a month in March, and her mother was constantly by her bedside. The mother behaved generally normally, but she would at times not engage with her daughter, and fed, changed, and comforted her when the staff asked her to.
Exactly.
So there's something mentally wrong with these people. But she told a hospital dietitian that her entire family followed a vegan diet, and she detailed the extreme diet that led to the girl's condition. So this is crazy.
Idiot.
This is crazy. Listen to what they fed her. She said her daughter would generally have 1 cup of oats with rice milk and half a banana in the morning, and a piece of toast with jam or peanut butter for lunch. For dinner, she said her daughter would be offered tofu, rice, or potatoes. But she said that the girl was a fussy eater, so she might just have oats again.
I have no words.
Protein deficiency. If you don't get at least, I think it's 10% of your total calories from protein,
mm-hmm.
Over the long period of time, you will starve to death. Like, number one, look at the number one macronutrient. And the reason it's called a macronutrient is because it's a big deal, is protein, okay? The only protein that this girl was getting was
the oatmeal.
The very little, not even, there's very little protein in oatmeal. In a half a cup of oatmeal, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. I will fill up my stomach from half a cup. Mm. You know, there's no way Gianna's even eating a half a cup.
Mm-mm.
In half a cup of oatmeal, there's like 5 grams of protein, which is negligible for the amount of food that is. Right? For the volume.
Protein the rest of the day.
Listen, for the volume of food that is, that's a negligible amount.
Mm-hmm.
Half a banana, that's pitiful. Mm-hmm. Shane eats a whole banana.
Mm-hmm.
Rice milk, terrible. That's got like no nutritional value to it.
Can I drink almond milk?
Could
almond
have.
Milk has no nutritional value either.
Yes, don't feed your kids only almond milk.
It's not a substitute for cow's milk.
No. And as much as I do not want, nor will I feed myself cow's milk, Shane is still drinking formula that's a milk-based formula.
A toddler formula.
Which I'm okay with.
That's milk-based.
Yeah.
Because he needs it. Because he can't just drink almond milk.
There is nutrients in that he needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wonderful part of cow's milk, or of the formula, because mm-hmm. you can get that milk-based product
mm-hmm.
Without having cow's milk in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she would be offered tofu. And tofu is a decent source of protein, but
yeah.
like she also said, that if she might just have like oats it. Again.
Well, yeah, okay. And if a one-year-old doesn't like tofu, like, you need to find a different protein substitute.
Exactly.
That your child likes.
Exactly. So, you know, that was my first thing, was, like, massive protein deficiency. Massive protein deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And protein is essential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, protein is absolutely essential, especially in children when they're growing.
Yeah.
And they show the most growth, you know, between the ages of 0 and what? Puberty?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? So basically the diet resulted in severe deficiencies in nutrients across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Including a lack of calcium, of course. Mm-hmm. No milk. Rice milk doesn't hardly have any calcium.
Mm-hmm.
Phosphate, B12, vitamin A, iron, and zinc. Now, there is a little bit, there's like 8% of your daily value of iron and 4% of your daily value of some other mineral in oatmeal. But that's in half a cup of oatmeal. And like I said, that's a massive amount of food, especially for an infant to eat.
Yeah. No way.
And even at that, that's only 8% and 4% of each respected mineral. So like, that's negligible.
Mm-hmm.
That's barely anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she had fractures scattered throughout her body, and her bones were so brittle, doctors believe they could have been broken by normal handling.
Picking her up, putting her down.
Yeah.
Her falling over if she can't sit up or crawl.
I'm surprised that, like, if her bones were that brittle, she didn't hit her head on the floor and, like, give herself a fracture her skull from seizing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, terrible. So, you know, basically one doctor described her as floppy and noted how the diminutive 1.5-year-old didn't crawl or walk during the entire month that the hospital had her. And apparently the hospital respected the parents' wishes to keep her on a vegan diet, but they grew concerned when the mother outlawed soy because it was full of hormones. Now, this is funny. When it comes to soy, like in the bodybuilding world, the fitness world, it's been somewhat demonized because an excess of soy in men can lead to lower testosterone. And like, if you want to build muscle, you don't want to do that, which is why I don't drink soy milk.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, testosterone levels don't really start to spike in kids until they hit puberty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like essential to cut out soy.
Yeah, even like for how boys. Much soy milk? Even if a young boy drinks a cup of soy milk a day.
Exactly. It's and if not I even if I were to drink soy milk when I have cereal, and how often do I have cereal? Maybe once on the weekends. Week. Yeah. Even if I were to have a bowl of cereal with soy milk, it really wouldn't affect my testosterone levels that much at all. It's just like, it's basically like chronic, you know, if you're drinking soy milk every day, that's mm-hmm. when it's going to affect your hormone levels as a male. So these people are sound like the people that like read the clickbait articles and then just believe everything these falsified articles say yeah. about anything that's not vegan.
Yep, and they're going to sit in jail for it, so.
So, well, apparently, even after a week in the hospital, the parents exchanged text messages denying their daughter's lack of growth was a result of malnutrition.
Bye.
So, the police spoke to the father.
You're drunk.
The police spoke to the father at the hospital and asked him why he wasn't concerned that his daughter never grew.
Like, are you dumb?
He thought the girl, he thought she was a girl and different to boys. She thought that she was just petite.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You know, she weighed only 4.9 kilograms, which was barely double of what she weighed when she was born. And this is almost a 20-month-old child. Wow. Or no, 13.
You should not reproduce ever again, 13 whoever you are, people.
Well, they had two other kids that are older than her.
Okay, and then how were they fine? There was obviously more than just not feeding her.
You're right. And I don't think, yeah, she was 19 months old. So all of the kids, the daughter and her two older brothers are all in foster care, and they're all doing much better. Within 6 months, the girl put on 6 kilograms and is crawling and standing on her own.
Neglect and abuse and retardedness.
Yeah. So in the end, the parents pleaded guilty to failing to provide for a child and causing serious injury. Charges of reckless, grievous bodily harm were withdrawn. And I guess they'll go back to court January 16th for sentencing. So we'll have to follow up and...
I don't even want to follow up.
See what kind of jail time they get for it. But like that... That kind of hit me a little bit because of the thing we found out with the almond milk.
Yeah, but like...
And I was like,
her other two kids were fine.
You're right. And there probably is more to the story that happened behind closed doors.
Exactly. And she's, and like, her other two kids are fine. So the yes. doctors and everyone else obviously knew that there's something more than just not feeding her.
Maybe.
Because they knew how to feed the other two kids.
Yeah. Well, maybe I, there's other factors at play, you know. Maybe if she ate the tofu and rice, would she be not in the same situation and had the protein?
Who knows?
You know, maybe the other kids were eating the tofu and rice. You know what I mean? Maybe the other kids were getting a decent amount of protein. You know, who knows if the other kids were nutrient deficient, but maybe they were. Maybe they were eating better than their daughter was.
Who knows?
You never know. But, you know, that... immediately to me was like, well, am I making the right decision about like what we're feeding our kids? And like, you know, there would be signs, of course. There would be signs if we're doing something wrong. You know, like what made us look into almond milk, because yeah. that's all we drink here, and realizing that almond milk is not
a substitute for cow's milk for infant, for children.
Mm-hmm. And so,
toddlers.
You know, we screwed up, you know what I mean? And that's what I'm, what, and then this thought came across my mind is like, you can have a kid in our society, you can have a kid and nobody teaches you how to do anything. Like if you didn't have support from your parents,
yeah,
nobody would teach you anything. Like you go home within a week of having a kid and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, I have this, yeah, like, what do I do?
How do you know when to feed them more yeah. when they need, you know?
Yeah, like, what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, There is no, but like, if you want to get a, if you want to get a driver's license, if you want to get a gun, if you want to get a job and you're under 18, you know, you have to go through all of these steps. You know, you have to get working papers if you're under 18 or 17 or whatever it is. You know, if you want to get your driver's license, you have to pass a test. You have to take a physical test to get a driver's license. If you want to get a gun, you have to pass a background check. They have to know who they're selling it to. You know, you have to do, you have to do certain, there's certain, there is no requirements for having a kid.
Nope.
Not only is there no requirements, but there's no education afterwards.
Nope.
And I think that
besides the little SIDS video they have to watch,
right? You watch hospital. You watch a video about sudden infant death syndrome in
and,
the hospital,
and not shaking and your baby.
It. Yeah, and not and that's literally like an acute thing that could happen, not something like this that's that takes a certain amount of time before it reveals itself.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well,
like malnutrition takes a certain amount of time before it reveals itself. You know, it's not like you feed your kid crap for a week and all of a sudden they're malnourished. It takes time to get to that point. You know, and I think it's, I mean, I think our school system does a terrible job of educating us on nutrition. I think our government does a terrible job at educating us on nutrition. And I think that there needs to be some entity that actually teaches us about proper nutrition, especially infant nutrition, especially nutrition.
I mean, there is, you do get caught. You do get taught in schools what's quote unquote healthy,
right? Right.
And quote unquote not healthy,
right?
And
but that's also followed. But that is government sanctioned. That's the my plate thing. From
yeah, and it drives me crazy because it's like, drink your cow's milk and eat your protein, no matter what kind of source it's from.
You know why? Do you know why the government pushes drinking cow's milk?
Because they make money off of it.
No. Well, yes and no. But during World War One, I believe it was World War One, soldiers were suffering from malnutrition overseas. So the government started ramping up production of milk so they could send it to the soldiers overseas so that they wouldn't suffer from malnutrition. Now, with that being said, farmers over here were like, oh, the government needs more milk, so I'm going to transition to being a cattle farmer. And or a dairy farmer.
We're gonna feed our cows corn, which
well,
they can't
digest. No. Not they can, we're not there. That's we're going off the rails there. But so farmers are like, okay, we need to be dairy farmers so that we can keep up with the demand of milk from the government. So a lot of farmers switched to be dairy farmers. Then what happened after the war is that demand went away. Okay, but the supply was still there. So the government had all this milk and they were like, how do we get rid of it? Well, we just tell people to drink it because it's healthy. So they started pushing this agenda of drink your milk, drink your milk, drink your milk.
It'll make your bones strong.
It'll make your bones strong. And, you know, without going into the statistics about, like, how it doesn't actually make your bones strong, and there's no significant studies about that, and all of the other negative benefits, the negative side effects of pasteurizing and homogenization, you know, that's the reason the government pushes drinking cow's milk.
That's funny, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's all because of what happened during World War One. Now, you know, that was, and was it good for the soldiers who were suffering from malnutrition? Yes, because that's survival, right? That's not thriving, that's not living, that's survival. And in a survival situation, I'm gonna drink cow's milk. If it's life or death, I'm gonna drink cow's milk.
Yeah.
Okay, if that's like one of the only available foods for me, I'm gonna drink it.
Yeah.
Right. But like, we're not in that situation now anymore. So, you know, and I think that without making the rest of this podcast all about nutrition, the government does a terrible job of educating our children in schools about nutrition.
I mean,
and it needs
more,
to be different.
Like, there's more and better information about nutrition on the internet. And
well,
like
yeah,
the fads
of
everyone's drinking almond milk now. Nobody's drinking cow's milk because cow's milk is bad. As almond milk is good, like, you know.
But even still, like what we found that almond milk is not a full substitute for formula for kids, and I think that was part of the reason why Shane was for that stretch of time was like super fussy for so long because he was just freaking hungry. He was just hungry. He wasn't getting what he needed. So, you know, I'm glad that we caught that, you know what I mean? And that we were, kind of humble enough, I guess you could say, to accept the fact that, like, oh, we're wrong. You mean, we're wrong. We're wrong about this.
You can't continue to, oh, well, he's not getting what he needs. That sucks because we drink almond milk in this house. No.
Right. No. I mean, you can't be like, well, no, that article can't be right because, you know, they're just pushing cow's milk. Like, you need to accept the fact that, like, you know, sometimes you're wrong as a parent.
Yeah.
And, like, I would so much rather be wrong in almost any other area of my life than when it comes to my kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, especially when it comes to, like, the health and wellness of my kids, so much would rather be wrong elsewhere than talking about, you know, their health and their wellness and their well-being. I'd rather screw up every single day at work, you know, and make dumb decisions every single day at work than be feeding my kids something that I think is healthy when it's really damaging to them.
But there's so many things that some people say are healthy, and then some people say aren't healthy, and then some people say that are healthy. Like
coffee.
Well, not just coffee. Like, I'm talking about coffee. Food. Well, I'm talking about for kids and food.
Okay.
I'm not talking about coffee.
Well, that's just my first.
Well, yeah.
Because I know there's a decent back and forth about coffee's good for you, coffee's bad for you. Because it's bad for you because it increases your blood pressure, but it's good for you because of the benefits of caffeine and the benefits of the coffee bean. But you're right. There's so, like, much controversy.
Would you...
Tired?
Yes, and I can't stop yawning.
It's about 9. It's 9:40.
Yeah, I know. What was I saying? How do you decipher? How do you choose, like, what you believe in is healthy and what's not healthy? Because what we believe is...
You're feeding your kids.
Well, yes, I know. And, it kind of goes down to, like, the science of the food and what it's made of and stuff. And
right. Well, like, the basics, the most basic thing you can do to have a good idea that you're feeding your kids a healthy diet is, if it is in a package, don't feed it to them. Very simple, you know, the grocery stores are designed a certain way. If it's in a package, don't feed it to them. That can be pretty difficult with kids, you know, in terms of snacks and stuff. But, you know, if you want to feed your kids healthy foods, a very easy way, without even me saying feed them this, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. When you go to the grocery store, Giant in particular, and I'm sure that other major grocery stores are set up like this as well. Mm-hmm. Go around the border of the grocery store, right? Like, stay out of the aisles.
Yeah.
And you'll stay away from the processed foods.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you only shop, you know, at the edge of the
produce,
grocery store.
The dairy. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. The meat. You know, the fish, the dairy, like you said, the yogurt, the cheeses, you know, the bread,
the
even
fruits and vegetables.
Exactly. You will be avoiding 95% of the foods that you don't want to be feeding your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that you shouldn't even be eating anyway. Like, you can take this and put this in your own life. Mm-hmm. When you go grocery shopping, buy all your groceries from the outside of the grocery store. You know, don't go in the aisles. Stay outside of the aisles, and you'll be okay. Anyway, this was quite a long-winded. This is probably our longest episode that we've done.
I had something else to say, but I'll just tell you when we get off.
No, what is it?
Oh, I read an article. Lost it. No idea where it's from or who it's by. But and I actually talked about this with one of our children's therapists today at school.
Really?
We were talking about it. Yeah. She's a speech therapist. But whatever. So there was this autistic boy who didn't speak. He was maybe, I don't know, maybe like 2 or something, 2.5. And he wasn't speaking. And his parents read... He wasn't speaking, and he was, you know, he was autistic. He's very delayed in other areas. And his parents read an article and read up about their diet. And they completely cut out sugar. They completely cut out processed foods. And within like a month or two, his behavior changed. His cognitive abilities were improving. He started to speak. He started to say words. And it was like a complete 180 turnaround just from his diet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he has autism.
Mm-hmm.
Like food, that's saying something.
Food is medicine. And if you treat it as such,
mm-hmm.
You can see massive improvements in your health
mm-hmm.
just from changing your food, what you're eating, what you're putting in your body. You know, and there's, to talk about autism, there was studies done on autistic kids, and they correlated autism with gut health. Mm. And they took feces from a person with a healthy gut, right? A very, very well...
They did a poop transplant.
A very well-populated gut
mm-hmm.
with a lot of good bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And they transplanted that poop into the individual with autism, and it improved their symptom. Like they didn't have the flare-ups, you know. And studies have shown that improving your gut health for somebody with autism can massively, you know, decrease like the flare-ups. And of course, I'm neither of us are experts on autism or gut health for that matter. And we're just speaking from what we've seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that in itself says something because, you know,
it's insane.
That's a disease that we do not have a cure for.
Yeah.
And, or a condition, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
That we do not have a cure for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, by changing the microbiome of the gut, you can improve symptoms of autism. Imagine what it could do for you
mm-hmm.
personally if you just improved your own gut health.
Yeah.
Imagine. And, you know, that's the first thing that people are going to think of when they hear that is like, oh, I'm going to take a probiotic.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to take a...
It's not probiotic.
It's not. That's not the only way to do it. Because... And when you take it... Like, probiotics are the one thing that you cannot buy cheap. That mm-hmm. you should not skimp on. You should be buying high-quality probiotics. It should be like an enteric-coated pill. Because think about it this way. When you take something... When you take a probiotic, let's say, right? It immediately goes through your mouth, down your esophagus, into your stomach. Okay, then it goes through the small intestine to the large intestine. Now, if you have bacteria in your small intestine, that's a condition called SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and that can cause a lot of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, these probiotics have to travel through your very acidic stomach acid.
You're not going to make it.
Through the sterile small intestine, because the small intestine is sterile,
mm-hmm.
into the large intestine. And then not only do they have to survive that trip, but they have to survive that trip and maintain the ability to repopulate once they get to the large intestine. So they have quite a journey in front of them from the time that they enter your mouth. So you cannot buy cheap probiotics
mm-hmm.
if you want to help to repopulate your microbiome. And like I said, I'm not an expert on gut health. I'm currently reading this book called Gut, Healthy You by Dr. Michael Ruscio, I believe.
Something like that.
That's how you pronounce his name. And it's really an amazing book. But anyway, to kind of reel it back in a little bit, when you feed your kids dinner, put the meat and vegetables on the plate first, and then give them the carbs and the pasta, the stuff that's yummy. Make sure you know what foods you're feeding your kids and what nutrients are in those foods so that they don't have any nutrient deficiencies. Don't be like those parents over
don't
in the United Kingdom. Don't malnourish them. Also, a daily vitamin would probably be a good idea. Mind you, these are not recommendations. These are just us speaking from experience, what we've seen, read, and done. We're not giving you parenting advice. We're just sharing
earphones
with you. Put your headphones back on. We're not done. But anyway, Thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Parenting with your hosts, Nate Woods
and Nikki.
Nikki Woods. If you have any questions, reach out to us on social media, send us a message. And if you like the show, leave us a rating and review in your podcast player of choice. If you have any advice for us, leave us the advice, because this is a new podcast and we're new podcasters. And if any of the fitness talk that I just talked about interested you at all, go search for my fitness podcast called Drive with Woody Fit. That's all I talk about.
No promoting yourself.
Listen, I'm totally going to plug this. I am totally plugging my own podcast.
Whatever.
On our parenting podcast. But yeah, I talk about fitness stuff. So with Megan and Michael, my two co-hosts, and all of us are in the military. So it's a military fitness podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That is explicit, though. That is an explicit podcast. So don't listen to that one with the kiddos in the back seat. But anyway, thanks for listening to the show. And see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.